Once again, we are all welcome to Local Ministers Forum for the Convention 2015. If you look at your magazine at the back, you see that the program for this morning, the first session for this morning, is titled The Leading of the Spirit. Then we have two things as breakdown inside there. One is, which voices are you hearing? And then the spirit of money. And these are important things we are going to look at this morning. As usual, we will have a lot of questions and contributions towards the end. But for the first 45 minutes, one hour thereabout, I will first share something with us. And then I will throw questions out. People can ask questions. Then we'll have a discussion like we had yesterday evening. And I believe we were all refreshed yesterday. All right? If you were refreshed like me, please say amen.
Amen.
All right. So we are going to follow the same pattern. And that's the plan. Let's see what the Holy Spirit will do beyond that. So I'm therefore teaching, first of all, on the leading of the Spirit. And I would like to take the number of scriptures I will read, but let's just read the one that we all know very well. Let's start from the book of Romans chapter 8. I want to explain something which I think many of us Christians need to really understand. The book of Romans chapter 8. First question is, what does it really mean to be led by the Spirit? Please, I want you to open your hearts to me and let me explain something which may be different from what is very popular amongst us Christians. I also learned the popular thing long ago, but then over time, I realized that I think we skew that understanding of being led by the Spirit to one particular extreme. It's actually much wider than that. In fact, when Paul was speaking, I can assure you, he was not saying what we generally called being led by the Spirit. That was not what Paul was saying. Let's just read that Romans chapter 8. One of the things you will find out is that Paul's teachings are repeated again and again in different ones of his letters. So it's really easy to decode Paul by reading different letters. Here, Paul was emphasizing the fact that we're not under the law, which was the same thing he emphasized in the book of Galatians about the matter of the law. So if you see that chapter 8 in verse 1, he says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. He said, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Please notice that there are two ways to walk in Christianity. Either according to the flesh, or according to the Spirit. Christianity is that we walk according to the Spirit. Please, I want us to bear that in mind. Christianity is that we walk according to the Spirit. So Paul was contrasting this to walking under the law. Now, he said, let me just, to save us time, let's go jump to verse 6. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Again, principle of interpretation of Scripture. Let me just drop one here. What he was saying here is that the mindset on the flesh produces death. That is, a consequence of setting mind on flesh is the bringing forth of death. And then the mind that is set on the Spirit produces life and peace. That's how the words are actually meant to be in the Greek. He said, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to. He now said, therefore, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There's an emphasis placed there. They do not have the capacity to please God. They do not have the capacity to know what God is saying. They do not have the capacity to interpret dreams and visions. They can have them. They do not have the capacity to interpret the dealings of God in their life, even if they are looking at it like this. For example, Moses told the people of Israel that after you've seen all of these things, God did not even give you the keenness of heart to know him. That is, they saw the visions, they saw the revelations, that is, the manifestations of God, all those great wonders, yet they didn't get to know God. So you see, you need a particular kind of spirit to even be able to interpret what is going on in your life. I've seen this experience a number of times. I'm sure it may have happened to me also, but it's difficult for me to realize because I'm the one that was confused. So let me use... Do you get my point? If you don't know what is going on, you don't know what is going on. So I just observe what I saw outside. I have seen a man come somewhere before to share a vision that God showed him. He had a prophetic unction. And he was supposed to correct somebody. He shared the vision, and all of us were excited about the vision because independently, we all came to the same conclusion that this was what this vision meant. Then he began to interpret the vision, then we got confused. You must understand, God gives prophets visions. There are two things. One, you can understand the vision. Sometimes you do. But the second thing is that you must pray for the interpretation. It's a different experience. A vision and the interpretation thereof, they are two different experiences. It is possible to have a vision, a prophetic word, you don't know what it means. And we know that clearly, that the prophets in the Old Testament did not know what they were talking about. Isaiah did not know what he was talking about. That's what the Bible tells us. All right? That these things, when they sought to know, Peter said, they were told it's not for your time. Just prophesy and die in peace. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so, and then you now see God says, what do you see? And they say, I see a rod of an almond tree. That's an experience. Then God goes to the next experience. You have seen correctly, let me now tell you what it means. Sometimes people get to that first experience, they stop there. They do not go into the second experience of understanding what the things that they saw meant. Oh, you understand? And sometimes it's even the experiences in their life. Like the one I was saying, I've seen that situation before. This man gave a vision, and all of us have said, listen, your interpretation is not of God. Your vision is of God, but this interpretation is not of God because you were not helping the person you shared this vision concerning to move towards truth. I won't go into details about it. Let me just leave that one there. Then I've seen an experience before in which you're looking at, look, this man, what he's doing is not good. You know, sometimes you can know that. And you wish he would do better. Then he goes through an experience and you now say, ah, thank God. This experience will now teach him to follow God better. He comes from the experience and says, now I'm more determined to go this way because I know enemies don't want me to progress. And you're wondering that, listen, which one is enemy again? We thought God was talking to you. The reason is because, listen, Paul said, the mindset of the flesh cannot receive the things of God and cannot please God. The problem is the mind. It was set on the flesh. So you can see a correct vision. Your ability to decode and interpret it depends on where your mind is set. That's why the prayers we're praying this morning and yesterday night, they are so important. Because we kept on dedicating our hearts and kept on saying, I will walk with God. I will not miss God. I will not fear people. I will not fear things. I will not fear what people are fearing. The reason is that people don't realize it. Look, that's why God does not have to prove himself to anybody. I was thinking about as we were praying earlier, something came to my mind. I said, just imagine a man praying. I said, God, I am sick. Heal me and I will know you are God. And God said, die, you will still know I'm God. If it is to prove that I'm God, don't worry. Whether you are healed or you are dead, you will find out. That is just it. So God doesn't want to prove anything to anybody. You had better just understand him and try to get to know him. I'm bringing up something here. Where the mind is set is what determines what you understand. So I'm going to emphasize this in Romans chapter 8, verse 8. When it says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. He now says, however, verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. You notice something here? It is where you are, he's talking about. That you are in the spirit, if the spirit of God dwells in you. You are in the spirit. Please follow this. He said, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, again, principle of interpretation of Scripture, what Paul was saying here, he said, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, don't belong to him. If Christ is in you, what he was saying is, if that Spirit of Christ is in you, though the body is subject to death because of sin, he said, though the body is dead, again, I'm trying to interpret it, what Paul was saying is that the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive, or the Spirit will give it life. That Spirit that is inside you, we give the life, we give life to that body because of righteousness. And he explains it in the next verse. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he said, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Christ Jesus from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, please, I'm trying to emphasize the word Spirit here. And I said, so then, brethren, we are not under obligation to the flesh. What does it mean to the flesh? To fulfill the desires of the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For people to say to you, like we were saying yesterday, except your church has 500 members, you are not doing well. Like our brother said yesterday, you went for a meeting, and they said they recognize all branch pastors. Yet the assistant pastors were not recognized. Some now will now say, ha, I must make that branch pastor thing. That is what is called the desire of the flesh, being under obligation to the flesh. That is, I want to show people I have succeeded. I want to show people I have done well. I want to show people I have built a house. I want to show, people must know that this ministry pays. I remember I was somewhere, one man was trying to, I know he had the right spirit, okay? What I mean by he had a good heart, but I don't think what he said was right. He wanted to prove that ministry was correct. He said, is it car they are looking for? I also have these cars in my house. It's not proof that ministry is good. Are you getting my point? Because there are those who sold those cars, dispense of all of those things so that they might preach the gospel. It is not a validation that you are doing the right thing in the gospel. You have cars parked in your house, it's a bad thing. The car should be out walking. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's not a proof that you're doing well. All right? I've been in the church before, and the pastor said, we are going to build our church. It's going to be the biggest and the best in this city. That's a very wrong spirit. That's been under obligation to the flesh. You are competing. What is biggest and best in the city? What do you mean by that? Every build, there's no church that is a church. Every church is a building that is convenient for Christians to meet in. What is really a church is flesh, human bodies. You and I, it's our gathering together that makes a place a church. Are you getting my point? So if you gather under a mango tree, I always say, that mango tree just got anointed. That is it, because of our presence. And as soon as we leave, the evil spirits that were there before, they can come back and be, you know, they say witches are inside the tree. They can come back to inside the tree when we have gone. The tree is not the church. The building is not the church. That is why people have gone into hotels and done meetings there, and miracles have happened. Yet, the building, the room right above the hall is an adulterer that is there. Doesn't matter. Where we are is what matters. We bring in the Spirit of God. So when people come and say that our church is the biggest, it has no meaning. God doesn't know what they are talking about. But when people fall for those things, they are under obligation, the Bible says, to the flesh. And I say, we are not under obligation to the flesh. We are not trying to prove anything to anybody. We've been preaching that since yesterday here. We are not preaching, we're proving anything to anybody. We are just here to obey God, period. Paul said, he said, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. Again, death is a very powerful word in the scriptures. You will have problems the type you don't want. Things will go upside down for you. Start having unnecessary enemies, quarrels in church assemblies and all of that. Why? Because people are living according to the flesh. They are struggling for who will sit in front. There was something that our brother Edbert said yesterday, that you go to some places, who said, were you the one that said it? That sitting arrangement alone will depend on certain things. Bishops, you sit in front. Pastors, the next row. Deacons, after that. Workers, ministers, you line it up. And some men are at the back saying, one day I will make it to the front. It is called walking in obligation to the flesh. Living according to the flesh. And it says, if you do that, then you must die. Problems must come into that church. People start, you know, fighting each other. That's where it begins from. You find the church assembly where, I didn't mention your name, because what I want to say, the person is right here. You go for a meeting, people are bringing secret recorder to record themselves, and they are all pastors. Oh, this one brought a taser to shock somebody who, this one, okay, in a knife. Taser. No, this one is taser. You know what they call taser? The one American police used to paralyze you. And that man will now come and say, please, oh, okay, don't mind them. Here is your own microphone. Hide it. Give you glasses to record what is going on. And this is church. That is what the Bible calls death. Why? Because men are living according to the flesh. I hope you are getting my point. Let me tell you something. That's one mistake Christians make. When we want to solve such problems, we want to solve it physically. Let's discuss. Okay, why did you bring a knife? Don't you know we are brethren? That's not the problem. They brought a knife and tasers and microphone to record themselves and bugging each other. Our brother, how are you? You don't know he's recording what you are saying. Because he has to tell the big bishop that you said this. We want to settle those quarrels. That's not the issue. The issue is that men are living according to the flesh. Like our brother was told, let me not mention the name of his church. Somebody called, his ogre called him the church. Say, what is wrong with you? Don't you want to rise in this place? A senior pastor is telling a younger pastor, say, what's your problem? Don't you want to rise? So the man look at, rise, how? You don't want to be promoted? And you now hear things like, those who are not falling in life, I will post them to the place where they will suffer. What do they call suffering? No offering. Better no go flow. But no, he didn't realize that what you say you will suffer is where the man wants to do the preaching. Opportunity to preach. One day, one brother in Enugu there was telling us a story. He said that day he felt bad that he couldn't speak Igbo. He's a Yoruba man, but he's a pastor in Enugu. He was somewhere in a particular, I think it's the denomination, and a certain village, they made an offer. We have hall. We have a house for the pastors to stay. We want to come to church. Please give us a pastor. Did you hear what I said? The townspeople gathered and said, please, we just need a man of God. We will provide the house where we stay. We will provide the church. We have the church hall already. Please. And everybody was like, ah, no. The offering no go plenty. What do they have? He said that day he felt horrible because being a local area, preaching in English alone wasn't going to work. He said that was the day he felt bad he couldn't speak Igbo. This was in Enugu. The denomination couldn't get a pastor to go. Why? All of them had looked. Now, yeah, man, plantain be offering. It's not fertile ground. It is called living according to the flesh. This is where problems come from. I'm not explaining what it means to be led by the Spirit. So you find that when we are living under obligation to the flesh, we gather around. I know a pastor, they said on an average Sunday, he's offering on a bad Sunday. You know what they call prophet's offering? How many of us know what they call prophet's offering? Many of you here, you have chopped it before. You, I know you have chopped. These two of you, I know you have chopped prophet's offering. Yes, me too, I collect. Archbishop, you, they collect. I said, even me, I collect. Yes. It's the word of God. It's good. But I know one man of God, they were telling me about him. On a bad Sunday, the Sunday is bad, and this was at least 5 years ago. On a bad Sunday, his prophet's offering is 3 million naira. That is a bad Sunday. That if it's 3 million, he will say, God, what did I preach today that offended people? It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It's just a thing. Do you understand? But some people don't read. They say, eh? Where is he? He said, that church is in, let's just name one city. They will say it's in Laos. Wow. Or it's in Tripoli. He said, the Lord has been calling me to go to Tripoli. The Lord has been calling. Why? Because 3 million naira on a Sunday. Father, we can do things with that. Because the man, he's thinking of the money. I'm trying to bring out something. Let me tell you something about visions and revelations. You cannot understand or interpret them if you are in the flesh. Even if God comes and says, here's my ID card, I am God. You look at his ID, you see the glory shining from the ID. You see his face there, and they put name, creator of the universe. You still will not be able to hear what he's saying because you are in the flesh. You are living under obligation to the flesh. Many people have misinterpreted the call of God for their lives because they are living under obligation to the flesh. Let me go on. He now said, verse 15, he now said, verse 13, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you are using the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome all these temptations of life, you will live. Like the prayers we are praying this morning, if you use, because that's one thing Christians have as an advantage. Our God is real, is alive. We can come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. It means, listen, temptations are real. There are all kinds of temptations. The smallest of temptations is, should I steal money? Should I tell a lie? Should I commit fornication or adultery? Those are the smallest of temptations. The real temptation is that here is the cross. Should I go or not go? Did you hear what I said? Did you ever see Jesus sitting down struggling? This woman, I won't touch. I'm not married to her. Did you see that in the Bible? This morning, Pharisee, you want to bribe me? Wait here. Father, in Jesus' name, I will not take bribe. Did you hear Jesus did that? But when he got to the cross matter, he said, boys, hang out here. Pray, I'm coming. He went inside. He prayed until he bled. Many of us don't realize, he literally bled. He prayed until the skin on his forehead broke and blood began to drop. The first person to explain that to me is Derek Prince. Derek Prince said, the Bible says literally, the sweat from his brow were great drops of blood. They were not like blood. And if you read Dix will give you references in modern times of people who under pressure, they began to bleed. When pressure inside your soul gets so intense, you can bleed. Jesus had to resist sin to that level. And what was the sin? Not the normal sin you and I think about. It is that this is a cross. It's the will of the Father. Will I go or will I not go? So there are temptations in life. God cannot tell you to just leave a place where you are settled. Either you are working, you are doing business, you are doing ministry, money is flowing, things are flowing well. He said, pack everything and go somewhere else where nothing looks like it's going to be there. And you think it will be easy. Most people, they just use it, guru guru, they go. That's what is called springing up quickly. When you see pressure, you will come back and revise the calling of God. Say, God, did you call me or I call myself? Let's be sure. And at that time, God won't say anything again. Just be looking at you. Say, what I said before, you haven't forgotten. But what should people say? I always say, the word of God is not to be, we don't rush quickly to obey such words. We rush quickly to pray with those words until obedience works itself out in us. That's how it is. What am I going to say? Paul said, if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the flesh, that is when the temptations arise, what do? We take them to prayer and pray, knowing truth and using the truth to pray until the Spirit rises above that temptation for flesh. You know, Edbert was talking yesterday about a man who was bribed with $20 million. I was like, as a Christian, like, I won't take that kind of bribe. Oh boy, you have not seen $10 million. You haven't even seen $1 million. And guys who do it, they don't make promises. They show it to you. They know how to tempt. Head of one man here, EFCC, man, was still going to arrest a big politician. He got it. The politician brought out $5 million in cash to buy 24 hours. He didn't say, don't arrest me. He didn't say, kill the case. He said, look, you are a low-level officer. You are just supposed to arrest me, right? Good. I give you $5 million. Come back tomorrow. Effect your arrest after 24 hours. Talk about bribery. This is cash on the table. Take it. Go home. Go to your superiors and say, I was not at home. Then they will tell you to go back. And then you come back tomorrow. I just need 24 hours to settle myself. For that, I give you $5 million. Oh, your men who came with you, they share $3 million. This is cash men are talking about. It's not a wire to your Swiss account. No. What I'm telling you literally happened. Listen. So when Paul said, use the spirit to put to death the deeds of the flesh. No, be joking. There are prayers you pray before you enter certain places. Please, I want to beg all of you. See, this is our incoming vice president. Pray for him extra. For your own sake, pray for him. For your own sake, oh. For the sake of yourself, for the sake of my children, for the sake of your children, for the sake of the church of God, pray for him. You don't know what they call temptation. I beg, pray for that man. If you, he's a true believer. I knew him while Abacha was in office. He came to preach in a program that the doctors in Luth organized. It was an outreach. He came to preach to unbelievers to get saved. By that time, he was a professor. Look, just no matter what he does, just be praying for him. Until he leaves office, just be praying. Every day you think about him, pray for him. For your own sake, for the sake of the church of God, for the integrity of the word of God, for the reputation of God. God, it matters to him. He said, because of you, the name of the Lord has been blasphemed among the Gentiles. You don't want that to happen. Paul said, by the working of the Spirit, let's put to death the deeds of the flesh. What are the deeds of the flesh or the deeds of the body? They are those things that we set our eyes on, which are physical, which are on earth, things we want to use to prove that we are successful people. We want to show everybody else, look at what my members bought for me last week as my birthday present. You know, some it's very good. These are not bad things. People gather together, it's pastor's birthday. What did they give him? A brand new, maybe, Land Cruiser. It's nice. If they give it to you, won't you take? I go take, oh. In case God is speaking to you, let me know. I will tell you the kind of car I like afterwards. I will tell you after. Amen. There was a man, it was his birthday. They gave him a private jet. However, what makes it bad is when some of us now say, are they here? They do ministry. Where is the apostle? They preach from Bojobo. You understand my point? To Sobe. From Sobe now, you go to Onwa. You cross over to what they call it. You know, nobody is gathering to even give yam. This boy who came into ministry after me. Archbishop, maybe you sit down here a few locals ago. A boy who used to carry your bag. He came to see you. You know, driver driving, PA carry his bag, wearing suit. Yeah. It was a young boy here who used to pastor.
He lived in my house.
Some people can't look, they'll look at that and say, what am I doing? I've heard it before. What am I doing in this place? If you go to Lagos, he said, Demas has departed from me. Because he loved the things of this world so much, he moved to Thessalonica. That's what we call the deeds of the body. Paul said, by the Spirit, we put those things to death. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. He now said, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. What have I said from there? If you notice, what Paul was building up to, many of us say, who have been led by the Spirit, has the Holy Spirit spoken to you this morning? That was not what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, you are either following the dictates of the flesh, or you are following the dictates of the Spirit of God. It is not the whispers of the Holy Spirit, but the presence of the Spirit of Christ in you, pushing you in the right direction continuously, so that your passions are things like being pleasing to the call of God for your life. Your passion are things like, I'm putting to death the deeds of the body. I will not follow what people are following. I will not be like Demas, rushing up to Thessalonica because the pay is better. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit is a continuous factor in your life. It is not the word you hear from God once in a while. That's what I was explaining to us, that we Christians look at it that, okay, what the Holy Spirit said to you about it, that's not the leading of the Spirit. God speaks. Somebody give me an amen. Amen. If you believe it, give me a very warm amen, please.
Amen.
There are diversities of manifestations. Paul was led different ways. You have been led different ways. I have been led different ways. Some of them very dramatic. I've been led by dreams. I've had prophetic words spoken to me before. I've had what sounds like a voice. I have prayed to God before when we went to chapel one day, school of ministry. And we're praying, just like we're praying here this morning. And he said that the pastor that he was, he said, say to God, everything you are doing that he didn't send you to do, that you will drop it. As soon as he said it, I knew what I was. In fact, the thing knocked me, the thought dropped on my head like a thought dropped in your head and knocked into your seat. That's how I fell into my chair. Say, Banky, that one. So those things happen. But that is not what Paul was saying when he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. That's not what he's talking about. What was Paul talking about? We're talking about the voice of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit. The first thing is, which voices are you hearing? In this life, there are many voices. There are voices of, at your age, you don't own your own house. There's one man in Enugu does a program. I've never seen it personally, but I heard reports of it. You know, Apostle, the day we were talking about it, you know one thing he said, the man don't build duplex from that program. I don't know what I heard I said. That's how people judge a successful program. And the program we're talking about, he talked to another minister that they have some dealings together. They share an office. And that one said to him, what this man is doing is wickedness. I don't know whether you get my point. That a pastor is doing a program, weekly or monthly program. People come for that program. And from the proceeds of the program, he has built himself a duplex. And that man of God looks at it and says, what this man is doing is wickedness. That he's taking advantage of the people of God. But how do other people judge his success? Money. One of my colleagues, he came, he said he didn't know such things happened. Somebody told him, say, bring money. Let's go and do a crusade. The returns will be good. In 2015, yes, crusade, the returns, the financial returns, sir, from the crusade will be good. So they were telling him to invest in the crusade. And this was supposed to be a preacher. I said one of my friends in Onitsha, that guy I referred you to, when they organized a big crusade in town, and he saw one man of God, said, this guy, he can preach. Let me invite him to be the main preacher for the day. They had printed posters, assuming the program was supposed to be next month. Posters were ready to be shared out. Then he and the man got talking on the phone, said, let them just confirm the dates. The man said, hey, I hope they have told you my percentage. So he said, what? He said, listen, I take 40%. So that man said, what are you talking about? He said, listen, nobody cheats me of my money. I place a curse over my money. My friend was looking like, what are you talking about? Look, the percentage of the offerings, 40% is my own. I place a curse. If it's not complete, a curse is upon you. So the guy said, all right, sir, I have heard. He called him a few days later. He said, sir, please, we are having a small problem. The date of the program has been shifted indefinitely. He told me he tore the posters and threw them in the dustbin. Just so the man, when we fix a new date, we will let you know. That new date will be after Jesus has come back. Now, we are talking about the deeds of the flesh. I've used these extremes to paint the picture clearly. Please, I hope you're following this thing. Now, these are extremes, all right? Because we all use that to paint a picture so that we'll get the point of what's going on. The main thing I want to see, because these things are subtle. For most of us who have bothered to come here, I believe that, like Paul said, we are not of that spirit. However, I said earlier, there are temptations in life. Let me quickly say something. The specific will of God in life for us, if I'm doing a series on radio now, we did some recording yesterday, so we could, that's the day before yesterday, so we could come down for this program yesterday. And I'm teaching on how to be led by the Spirit again. That's understanding the will of God. That's the title. And I said something, let me just repeat it here, that the will of God has two sides. Paul said, this is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 3, it says, what is the will of God? Sanctification. That's all. Paul was writing to hundreds of thousands of people. His letters used to be circulated. Thousands of people would read that letter. And he said, this is the will of God, sanctification. He now went ahead to explain what sanctification was. He said, abstain from sexual immorality, abstain from defrauding one another. He gave some basic, easy to understand things concerning the will of God. I call those things the general will of God, which Ezekiel explained in three levels. He said, one, be united to God. Two, remove the idols from your heart. Three, remove the stumbling block of your iniquity before your face. That is the general will of God. Then there is a specific will of God of, should Banky be in Enugu or be in Kutangura? Should he be in Lagos or be in Los Angeles? Should he be in Abuja or move to Indonesia? Those are the things I call the specific will of God. A single man, should he marry Sister A or Sister B? A single woman, three guys want to marry her at the same time. Which one should she accept to marry? That's the specific will of God. And now this is what I say about it. The specific will of God does not frequently require your conscious knowledge. The specific will of God, most of the times, works itself out in your life. The general will of God, you must deliberately go after it. The specific will of God most times works itself out in your life. What do I mean? Should I be in Lagos, Abuja, Enugu? I'm a young graduate, just finished my NYC. I said, no, let me stay in Lagos. I stay in Lagos for some time. First year, second year, I not get work. Then somebody calls me one day and say, oh boy, there is work now. You start on Monday. This is Thursday. Let me have your CV. Monday you will start. Where is the work? In Kaduna? A jobless man can't pray, God, should I go or should I not go? You go first. No, are you getting my point? You work first. Because Kaduna is a good place, not a bad place. If you have committed your ways unto the Lord, are you getting my point ahead of time? You know, people not tell me at that time, say, Pastor, I don't know, should I go or should I not go? I say, wait, what are you doing right now? Nothing. You get a wife for here? No. You get a husband for here? No. You get a wife for here? No. Where you stay? I'm staying with my cousin. He has been feeding you for 6 months. And you are still praying whether you should go to Kaduna to collect the job. Listen, go first, we'll pray after. The place you are going, is it not good productivity? Yes. Are you going there to steal? Are they saying, come and lead a gang of, what they call it, people who will rig election? No. You are going to get to an office, which you are going to help them organize and make them productive. It is a good thing. You say, what if it's not the will of God? He will bring you back at the appropriate time. Don't worry, go first. That's what I mean by the will of God working itself out of your life. That's why Jesus used to say some things. He told the disciples, how do you know which city to go? He said, it's simple. If they persecute you in this one, look for the very next one. Don't ask me any other question after that. That is, once they persecute you in this city, he said, flee to the next. Don't go to the one that's the tenth one. The very next city. He said, how you know your mission in that place has come to an end? When the persecution becomes so intense, you can't continue preaching. Move. He said, this is how you will keep moving. You will not have finished going through all the cities that are available before I return. Are you getting my point? The specific will of God, most of the times, do not require our conscious knowledge. I said most of the times. There are times, look at someone like Paul. Paul will say, look, any city we see, they've never preached the gospel. We preach it there. Then he got to a city one day. The Holy Spirit just suddenly showed up one way or the other and said, you can't enter. Try the next one. He can't enter. What is going on? Then they slept. And at night, somebody said to them, come over to Macedonia and help us. And then he perceived that this must be where God wants us to go. Why? Because Macedonia was not in line. Macedonia was out of the direction they were heading for. So they had to. That's when the Holy Spirit starts giving you specific instructions. Otherwise, most of the time, he says, concern yourself with sanctification. What is sanctification? Sanctification is, back to what I was saying, being led by the Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. Sanctification is purify your motives. Why am I doing what I am doing? That is what a Christian, a minister should do all the time. We want to do a program. Why? Some people say, we want to use it to grow our church. Bad. You can't do a program to grow your church. You do a program to reach out to people with the word of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and other things can be added after that. What I mean is this, if people now come because of that, we thank God. One day a student came to meet me in UNEC. They wanted to invite me for a program, a group of students, a big fellowship on campus. They said they're organizing a program on relationships. You know what they said to me? They said, we know people like to hear on relationships. So we used to drag them, we will now preach the word of God to them. I said, that's called fraud. I said, you see, you don't realize it, but you're walking in deception. Why do you think your gospel is not powerful enough to attract people by itself? I said to them, these are students just coming to campus. You want to help them? Exactly. Tell them the simple things. Okay, young boys, young girls, you're just coming to school. Let's not teach you about sexual purity. It's simple. Say it like that. They will come. Academic success while you're a student. What is wrong with that? Jesus wants them to succeed. I said, number one, I'm not a relationship minister. I said, number one, I'm not coming whichever way. I said, number two, let me help you guys. This gospel has power. Don't worry about it. I said, this gospel has power. All this machination and trickery is unnecessary. Have you ever seen Umar Okpai come and say that I want to teach you how to do? He comes, evangelism. He wants to see the name. Do you get my point? Rehum Bonnke has never promised you any other thing more than I will help you give your life to Christ. Look, exactly like Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, whatever. Look, don't lie it like that. Preach the gospel. Rehum Bonnke has never advertised his program by lead comedian Ali Baba. Can I even say something? That when the church has lost power, they start doing entertainment. That man was one of those great men. We're trying to remember the name earlier. Yes, Charles Spurgeon was one we're trying to remember. Charles Spurgeon. One of the other Charles Spurgeon, or one of those, he said something that he fears for a time that instead of instead of having shepherds feeding the flock, you will find comedians entertaining the goats. One day I was in a church assembly, and the nurse said, church program, he said, okay, fashion show. People were going up and down doing fashion. I just suddenly remember Ken Hagin. Ken Hagin said, when we have lost power, we start fashion show. Those, go and read Ken Hagin, the very words he used, fashion show. He said, because we have lost power. Believe me, you want to attract people to church? Heal the sick in that church regularly. You will attract more people than those who are bringing Ali Baba and all the comedians to town. Comedians entertain; they attract those who want to laugh. That is it. How you get a result is the way you will sustain it. You use advertising and marketing. That is the way you will keep them. You print all kinds of. You will spend money doing interior decor. And there's one thing Bishop Oedipo said once, which I will never forget. He said, when you gather people by your music, one day a man is coming with better music. That you use good guitar, no wahala. They gathered. A man will soon come that will play music better than you. And that's what everybody will disperse. Because if you live according to the flesh, he said, you must die. The church must die. That's what he was saying. The ministry built according to the flesh must die. When we're talking about according to the flesh, that's what I'm talking about. And leading by the Spirit. What is leading by the Spirit? Let's purify our motives. Anything you want to do, why are you doing it? That's all I'm preaching this morning. The question is why? When we went to Akure for our brother's service of songs, Pastor Matthew told a story which was very interesting. He said they asked a man. No, was Matthew that said it? Anyway, it doesn't matter. The story is what's most important. Who said it now? Secondly. He said that there was a man who used to have a ministry in Abba. And one day they asked him and said, "Oba Hafa, you have left Abba, you have moved to Lagos." He said, yes. So he noticed that most of the ministry support he was getting, financial support, was coming from Lagos. So he said, follow the money. The man followed the money to Lagos. Yes, follow the money. Since those who are giving you money are in Lagos, go to Lagos. That was what he said. So we're just talking about, he was using to illustrate what people should not do. And that's what I'm talking about. So you are locating the ministry somewhere. The question is, why? The question is, why? You are starting something in church. The question is, why? You know, people like this. You know, I was joking with Bomiyan earlier. He said, please, can we do this on this program? I said, oh, I don't think so. He said, you know, it's popular demand. I said to her, do I look like Aaron to you? I said, do I look like Aaron? Aaron is the one that builds a calf because everybody wants a calf. I said, do I look like Saul? Samuel came to Saul. Why did you sacrifice? Saul said, the people. So I said to Mommy, I said, popular demand does not work with this guy. Give me another reason. Popular demand, no, that doesn't work in church. God has never run democracy. Democracy is a human adaptation, fallen man adaptation to what God could give them as good government. That's the best God can offer now. Like we always say, one with God is majority. The whole of Israel was mistaken. Only Joshua and Caleb, together with Moses. Like I always say, we don't know where Aaron was. You know Aaron, that brother Aaron. What kept that man alive was his priestly robe. The day God removed it, he dropped and died. Go and read your scriptures. The moment Moses removed the robe of Aaron, the guy dropped. I hope you can understand. So it is not, this is popular. You don't start something in church because it is popular. No. The reason why you do anything, whether a ministry, that is your personal ministry, your personal church, you do it for the people, the question must never, do they like it? No. The primary reason is, one, like I say, your duty as a preacher is to lead people towards righteousness. If it will not improve their practice of righteousness, even if they all want it, they are not getting it under your watch. One of the things, let me give you an example. In Kingdom of those, we want to do something. There was a time. People said, this happened once. I think we wanted to fix the time for something. They now said that Arsenal is playing. You know, they say maybe UEFA champion. I said it is the very reason I was starting that moment. I want you to choose between UEFA Cup Championship and come to hear the word of God. I will not shift a program because people who don't understand what is important in life want to watch TV. There's something Bishop Oyedepo used to say those days. Very funny. Hey, he said, what? Me? Do that? If God catches me, he'll put me out of ministry. Really, there are things you just look and say, no, I'm not doing that for anybody. You want God to catch me and put me out of ministry. I will never shift the time of a program because people who don't know what life is want to watch TV. Entertainment. If you said to me, sir, that is where Miles Morrow's program is. We would like to finish watching it before we come. They will know that, okay, let's take two instead of one. You hear Miles Morrow at 4 o'clock, then 5 o'clock, please be here, let us start. But Arsenal wants to play Manchester United. Who cares? Have you know it's the same thing they do year in, year out. The same ball, the same goalpost, the same dribbling pattern. There's nothing new under the sun in football. I'm talking about purifying our motives, the leading of the Spirit. So when we're talking about the leading of the Spirit, that's what it means. Why would I leave Enugu and go to this other place? I must have a real reason that is scriptural, defendable before God, and does not cater primarily to my flesh. You know, one of my friends then will ask, I said, Why do you want to? He said, you want to go and open branch in Lagos? I said, well, he said, Lagos is a place where you get people who will support you. You don't need human support. David said, who do I have in heaven but thee, O God? And upon this earth I have desired no other person. What David was saying is, I have God in heaven, I don't give a damn about human beings. God says, I send a bird of prey from the east, and the man of my purpose from a distant country. I run Kingdom World Ministries from Enugu. I don't know, of course, because of the way we do things, most of the financial support we get is money that just hits the bank. I know this day of modern banking, you don't know where it's coming from. Credit alert. Mr. Ajale Koko paid to Kingdom World Ministries, period. The worst one is when they now do standing instruction, standing transfer. I've written a letter to Guarantee Trust before that they should please adjust so that you can reflect a few things. Because if you do standing instruction, it doesn't tell you where it's going, it doesn't tell you where it's coming from. And it's very annoying. And we get a lot of that, which means I don't even know who you did. I can't even tie a name to the person. I just know that through that means God supplies money enough for us to pay every. There's nothing we are doing we can't pay for. Don't have to borrow a dime. Where do they send the money from? In all honesty, most of the people, I have never seen their names. That is, never, never, ever. Never. I will now relocate ministry because support is coming from somewhere. There was a time when I started then, somebody said to me, start a church. I said, why? Nothing wrong with starting a church. It's a beautiful thing. But why was my issue? He said, without a church, you won't have respect. And I said to him, I am not doing this for respect. I just want to do what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes, you know, I've seen churches do program, and it's very common. They don't know it's bad. The primary reason is that after this program, we'll have enough money. That is sin. You see, you are waiting to go and steal somebody's wife before you know you are walking in sin. Meanwhile, daily you are doing it. Churches organize Thanksgiving to raise money. They don't realize those things are bad. You know, something happened once in Enugu. This was many years ago in House on the Rock. I was supposed to preach. And then pastor said that, please, they want people to raise people who support the church. You know, so I said, no problem. It's very good. Nothing wrong with it, though. Please, there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's good. I preached that day. I just gave a bit of advice. I just said that I normally like people making commitments for 1 year. Yes, you can just take it. It's good advice. If you want people to make commitments to you for anything, give them a time frame. 1 year is what I recommend. And that's what we're doing in Kingdom World. You make your commitment for a year. That's just for co-workers, though. All right? It's not everybody. Those who are co-workers, each of us must make a commitment to give to the ministry regularly. But you make that commitment for a year. The reason at the end of the year, you can revise your life. I mean, we are not Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? We didn't die for you. We're not taking you to heaven. All right? So you owe it to him, not us. All right? So I gave that piece of advice. Then at the end of the day, they used to laugh at me. One brother said that, Banky, I like you too much. Say, you are too real. That's how they do my thing. I said, hey, today I have come to collect your money. I said this simply. And the way I preach such messages, I said, we are not planning to go to Aliko Dangote to ask for offering. We are not going to an unbeliever to beg for money. It is those of us who are here that will support this church. So everybody, take a piece of paper. They have the papers ready. Just take it, go through it, make a commitment for the next 1 year, write the amount of money you can give on a regular basis. And at the bottom, they now wrote prayer points. So I said, everybody go down there, look at it. Did you see that prayer point? They said, yeah. I said, it's a lie. Nobody will pray for you. I said, this paper is to collect money.
Yeah.
If you need prayer, see that brother. He's the head of intercessions. Go and meet him. Don't write any prayer point here. We are not going to pray it to. The whole church scattered with laughter. I said, you see, I'm telling you the truth. You're looking for who this is here. I said, I came to collect money. I didn't come to pray. Everybody laughed that day. That's the one that came and remember. I said, this man, I like you too much. Look, I said, tell Christian, tell them the way it is. If you want to say to people, next Sunday, we are going to collect money, announce it. Don't say next week is our Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving day, let people come know. Get a good praise singer who knows how to lead praise, tell him to stay on prayer. Let us all worship God. Don't mix thanksgiving with fundraising. It is evil. Those of us who are local fights here, you've seen my meals when it comes to money. You know, say, I don't pull punches. I tell you straight, brethren, this kind of giving way they give, it doesn't befit you. I mean, I don't pull punches. I give it to you straight. That with the size of car you are driving, I can't see the appropriate amount of... You walk to a shop, pay 8 million naira for a car. I'm collecting money for conversion. You drop me 100,000 naira. It's the love of God that didn't let me throw it back in your face. And I think Christians should get to that level. That's how I do my things. And you know what Christians, believers don't understand? That's preachers. They don't know that believers have the Spirit of God. And if you connect with that Spirit, generosity will flow abundantly. Generosity will flow. That is why those of you who have listened to me enough, I never beg for money. I don't believe I should beg Christians for money. I tell them God requires you to be faithful. And whoever is called, because we have different callings. There are those that they are calling is bring money. It's their calling. Bring money. When you are gathering, say, brethren, we are going to do crusade in the village. Some pastors make it compulsory. Everybody must come. Why will everybody go? When you have apostles like this, why are you calling everybody to go to the village? Your church will have like 6 or 7 of them that can trek barefoot if necessary. Some people, God didn't allow their feet to touch anything hard. Leave them. Let those guys go and bring money. Go. Send it to us when we're in the village. There's one church that says everybody must go on mission and go to the village. Say, why are you pretending? Everybody will not go on missions to the village. Not everybody. Just like everybody won't preach in Aso Rock. Some people will never preach to professors in their life. God didn't send them there. Ravi Zacharias cannot speak to connect with the village man. You know Ravi Zacharias? When you hear his English, his logic, his thought, the village man go, you're crazy. At least as a man. As the man starts preaching, wahala go, your boss for village. So God has shared, in the same manner, God has said to some people, you can't speak English, you can't lead choir, but you can speak money. And I believe God very seriously for such people to be abundant in the body of Christ. All this one of raising, we come to church today, special fundraising, Alaji Dangote is with us, he's a man of God, come and sit in front. Alaji Dangote is a man of God. You know, would they confuse once you see money, that is... Say, this man has been a pillar of support. And you look at the man they're talking about. His girlfriends are waiting outside.
He has two wives.
He comes to church. He said, this man has been, oh God. And he will sit in front. I'll just be looking at the pastor. So I'll just be shaking my head. Ah, money. This man will not give his life to Christ. You are showing him his material success too much respect. If he enters church, tell him to sit down. Say, will you be needing prayers? All right, carry one small girl. Go and pray for that man. So pastor said, I should lay hands on you. In the and he falls backwards. And they pick him up again. So now he said, I want to talk to the pastor. So sorry, he doesn't have time. He's seeing people. And when they see who the pastor is seeing, you see one old woman, you know, one young man, that the man can see that his money does not give him any stand in this place. Believe me, he's quicker to the kingdom. He knows that these people actually have something that is superior to what he has. But when his money takes him to the front, you've told him he doesn't need salvation. I'm talking about the leading of the Spirit. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? It means to have the right godly motives for everything that you do. Let's talk about this money thing a bit further, because I talk about the spirit of money. Why I talk about the spirit of money is because, you know, I want to use respect in quotes now. That is, I'm being careful, but you because of our normal way of speaking this in modern day, you understand what I mean. Money is one thing that God respects, in quotes, please. So he doesn't respect the devil. What I mean is this, you know, he says respect, that is fear. God is never has never been afraid that Christians will fall for the devil. He knows when they see the devil, they will resist him. They will cast the blood upon him. They will shout the Holy Ghost fire. But he said, when they see money, Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. That is the only thing that he said that my people may want to serve. He didn't say you cannot serve God and the devil. He said that is not in doubt. He knows you will not serve God and the devil. But he had to explain to them that you cannot serve God and mammon. That is why Kenneth Hagin told us something. Like I told Kenneth Hagin, the Lord wasn't talking to him for himself. He was talking to him for all of us. And let me just beg you, if you are here, you came to attend the ministers' forum meeting. Read all the prophetic words Kenneth Hagin ever gave. If you don't read his book on two kinds of thinking, I don't feel bad. You can read Casey Price, you can read Ken Young for those ones. There are many people that taught the kind of teachings the man taught. There are many. Some even did better than him. However, his prophetic words, he's the only one that gave those words. Nobody repeated them. I've read around a bit as prophetic. God gave that one to him for everybody. Please read his books, I Believe in Vision. Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. He gave gifts unto men. Ministry Gifts. These are books in which he went prophetic, discussing visions. The Lord appeared to me. We discussed for an hour and a half. 3 years later, he came again. He said to me that, you remember I told you I'll talk to you again about this thing. You know, it tells you things like that. There's a series I sent the links around to the Lookout Mailing Group. That's Divine Healing. That's the Minister's Conference of Divine Healing. Listen to that series. That's one in which the man, in fact, he said it himself there. There are many of the things I'm saying here, I can't say it in the pulpit. Because many people will be confused. It will weaken their faith. But I'm talking to preachers now. I can explain these things to them. Listen to this. I sent the link around. Just check our previous mails. Download them. They're available there. All right? They are still. The links are still active. Okay? You can get the messages. Now, he said something. He said once the Lord finished me talking with him, and he was about to leave, and he told him two things. He said that, for everything that happens in your ministry, number one, make sure you give all the glory back to me. I've heard Kenneth Hagin minister before. At the point in time, he will stop and say, who is the healer? Everybody will say Jesus. Jesus is the healer. I am not the healer. He says that once in a while. Because the Lord said to him, make sure you give all the glory back to me. Then the second thing he said is, be careful about money. Then he said, he repeated it. For me, it's striking that he did not repeat, give all the glory to me. But when it came to money, he repeated it. Be careful about money. And I want to say to all of us here again, be careful about money. Many of us won't steal ministry money. That's not to our advantage anyway. The area where we make a mistake, which I want to talk about, is the leading of the Spirit, is when we do things because of money. Never preach a message because of money. I've heard things, pastors say things like this, you know, it's like a joke, but you laugh about it, but you start doing it, I better preach a good message, so offering will be go. If you have joked about it before, don't even joke about it again.
Yeah.
The truth is that it's not funny. I've heard all kinds of things. When that man finished, man, offering, you all go down. That one doesn't matter. What matters is, did the man tell the truth? Did he say the mind of God? Preachers joke sometimes, but you know, you have to be careful. You don't keep joking about things like that. They say, the Spirit moved, the Spirit moved. How much was the offering? And we say it jokingly, and we laugh about it. But we're not making it a habit. Spirit move, spirit move. How much was the offering? He said, nah, spirit never move. This offering is not enough. How can you tell me spirit did not move because offering is not plenty? There are subtle things that derail us. I said something earlier. Let me say it again. He said, those that are mindful of the things of the flesh cannot please God. I also went ahead to explain, they can't even understand what God is saying. Even if you were to show them things in a vision, as long as their minds are set on those things, they cannot. In the last WAFBEC, that's a West African Believers, All Believers Convention that Pastor Kwadi organizes in Lagos annually. Pastor Efebuke, who many of us here, most of us here know very well, it's one of us from Uniben here. He said something, I listened to one of the messages. He said there's one part of faith Christians don't often practice. And we say it's unbelief. It's the reason why we go and take a vow and say, for better, for best, for richer, for richer. Sorry, pardon me. That's nonsense. They say if you say for worse, you are confessing worse days. Let me just tell you ahead of time, you will have bad days. Jesus prophesied it. As long as this world is worldly, the people that will not attach themselves to the world will have bad days. Don't think every time you stand for righteousness, God will defend you. No. Many times you stand for righteousness, you lose the contract. Why did you lose it? Simply because you stood for righteousness. That's a bad day. Paul said, I have learned how to abound and how to abase. That is, I can come in a private jet, I can go on an Okada. That's what he said. Pastor Buki said something. He said, there's a side of faith people don't often understand. And he read from Daniel how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. They said that we will not be careful to answer you in this matter. Okay, this is not time for niceties. If it is bowing, we will not bow. Our God is able to deliver us. They now said, even if he doesn't. Pastor Buki said that is one part Christians don't remember. God, this year you will give me a breakthrough. This year you give me a breakthrough. He said, never forget. Even if he doesn't give you breakthrough, so where will you go? Sometimes we have to obey the words of the Lord Jesus literally. Which says, take no thought for the morrow. Don't worry about it at all. Don't worry about it at all. He said, these things the Gentiles seek. Many of us, we are Gentilic in our activities. Our activities are centered around, the deeds of the flesh. That is, let me like this. Centered around the desires of the flesh, things that we want to get. Why am I saying so? We should get to a point because there's one church, I don't know which denomination, I can't even remember, but say they want to locate church. Say this one, the returns is good. You put the church in VI. So the investment to build the church, everything, maybe we'll spend like 10 million. In a year, we should get our offering back. Okay, put a branch there. Then if we follow this apostle to Obujebu, and we invest 1 million naira. The following year, we'll build them a school. The third year, we'll build them a clinic. After spending 15 million, these guys are not going to give up more than a few tubers of yam and leave them off. Do you know that we often make decisions like this as Christians? That's why I talked about Daniel. Even if I get nothing, let's get to that point. You get to the place, you spend the money, you do the ministry, just make sure you speak the truth and let God take care of himself. I can assure you of one thing, spiritual things. It is not necessarily where you poured your, energy into that God will return money back to you from. No. No, it's not. It is right for those who are ministered to give back when they can. But remember, it is acceptable to according to what they have. So if you minister to those who can only give you 200 naira offering, God accepts them for their 200 naira. It's your problem that you need 50,000. It's not their problem. I've seen people go to me and say, look, if you know the amount of money they have spent in this program, we should be able to support them. Bros, I didn't beg them to do the program. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You came to my village, did a program for 5 million. You did not know if you were counting on my support. If you have talked to me first, I'll have told you, say, okay, this thing where you put, we don't need them. This one you bring from town, you bring all this, we forbid drum for you here. That won't cost us money. What am I going to explain? This money thing, we have to consciously fight it. That I'm a minister, I must not do things because of what I am going to get. I must not do anything because of what I am going to get. I just want to say this, and let me just, I'll round up now. Sometimes people ask me that, why do you make your messages free? You know that all our Kingdom World Ministries, all our messages are free. In fact, we always invent new ways of packaging messages that are interesting. Like last time, we did this DVD, which is Faith Basics. It's a whole year's teaching, one whole year. All right, Saturdays, 43 messages on the fundamentals of faith. Before, it used to be in 5 CDs. The way we sell our CDs is 200 naira for each CD, and each one contains about up to 13 messages, you know. They are MP3s. So to make it easy for people to acquire, we now pack everything into a DVD. And the DVD is 300 naira, which brings each message to like, if you are doing it like 8 naira or so, you know. We did another one, compiled a lot. They'll bring it, when my men will arrive today, they'll bring it for this convention. We call it School of Prayer Collection. It contains 122 messages in 2 DVDs. We're now discussing, okay, how much should we retail it for? Don't worry, it's incredibly cheap. It's just a way, and we even announced to people that don't worry, if there are 2 of you, one person can buy it, then when you finish copying on your computer, sell to the next person, collect your money back. Then when that one finishes, you can ask somebody or sell it, collect his money back. I said, we don't care. I won't say it, I'm going to announce to the LCC people that when they come here, when the messages come, please don't bother. Go and meet a Hege at the end, and just, in fact, just collect one, just take one. You guys, students know how to do such things. Just, have you finished copying it? Give me. But before one day is over, everybody has it. Someone now says, why are you doing like that? And I'll tell you my reason. There are 2 reasons. One, it is reasonable if you want something to spread fast. Number 2, to avoid divine punishment. So what do you mean punishment? This was how I grew up.
Really?
Ah, well, you know the Archbishop. Now, so would they pass the scene upside down? That's how we used to do it. Oh boy, give me the tape, give me the tape. You quickly go, copy and give them back the original. God bless you. That original, Bishop Oyedepo's Gospel of Abundance. If I didn't make 100 copies from that thing, I did. What are you saying? Just used to copy tapes, They say, okay, this Kenneth Hagin book is expensive. There's no problem. Buy one copy. Go to photocopying machine. Oh, yeah? I said, look, people say, hey, copyright. I said, anointing is not his father's property. It's our father's property. The same father of us all. What are you talking about? Am I selling it? I said, bros, don't worry. Where you can go, we can go. Have you come to Enugu before? I'm preaching in Enugu. I'm helping your ministry. You don't know. I said, this was how I grew up. I said, if I do anything otherwise now, all my enemies will now find accusation against me. Those who have been praying against enemies. That is why you know enemies can now find accusations against you. If indeed we want the earth to be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas, and then, come on. I'm going to say, your ministry won't get money. Believe me, we get money. The other day, I was telling my wife, a man went into Kingdom World Ministries and he called my people, said, give me pastor's number. In one day, gave us 850,000 naira. I don't know where he is, whether it's in Nigeria or Botswana, I don't know. Kingdom World Ministries, 500,000. Pastor's account, 350. I don't know him. This was just last month. I don't know him. If I like sell CDs for 6 months, I'm not going to collect that money as an honorarium. I will not collect that money. Let me tell you the truth. I don't know who he is. The only thing that I got is a strange alert. I saw the amount of money. I moved over. I read the name of who deposited it. I didn't know who. Then later on, we're going through ministry, you know, accounts. I saw that same name on the same day. Once a man harassed Inka from lorry. He kept on, he was harassing Inka. Get me the number. Finally, Inka finally got the ministry number for him. Where's Pastor Son? In one day, the guy dropped 500,000 naira, split it. One third, put in my account, two thirds, drop ministry's account. He's in lorry, I don't know him. He just stumbled on our program on TV. He started watching it regularly. And then went to the website. And so, on top of that, you know, I still get emails say thank you for making these messages free. Look, I've said it before, one day it will happen that within a space of 24 months, 12 people will give 1 billion naira each to Kingdom World Ministries. It will happen one day. I think I will reach there quicker if I allow more people to get the messages as fast as possible. What am I trying to say? Whatever we can do to ensure that the gospel moves, let's do it. Let's not do anything primarily for what we are going to get. Let me say this one and I close there. How do we get money as Christians, as preachers? I'll tell you. The summary of it is this. Number one, ask God for it. You know, it sounds funny, but we seem to forget. Say to the Lord, I would like to have more money. Why? Because the Bible says that you give us things to enjoy. I want to enjoy it. I don't want to be driving this distance. I want to be flying this distance. And please, people say, why should a man of God have a private jet? I always say, because a man of God has private money and is going to private places. That's all. Doesn't concern you. If you have money, buy a private jet. If you don't have, don't buy. If you give me a private jet right now, I won't fly it. Why? There's no parking space at the back of my house for a private jet. I have to park it at the airport. You'll not be charging me every day for owning the plane. Please, though, your blessing shouldn't be a trouble for my soul. For that reason, as you say, Pastor Banky, we are flying a private jet right to you right now. I'll say, wait, be circling the airport. Don't land, though. Don't land, though. Then quickly I make a few phone calls. How do we dispose of this thing? Sister, when you were bringing it, did the Lord say to you, it's cash or it must be the plane? So the Lord didn't say anything. He said, okay, so I'll finish it for you. My son, convert that plane to cash and let the man of God have it. The Lord is good. So number one way to get money is you ask the Lord for it. Number two, for the ministry especially, I always say, teach, you know, by faith. You know, Jesus said something. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest field. It's a prayer point that the Lord has given you. Say, Lord, as you have sent me to preach, I know you have an anointing ready to bring money. So release those people that you have placed that anointing upon to come into this harvest field. It's a very valid prayer point. As you are preaching with all your heart, God has called some people to give with all their heart. Pray for them. You don't have to know them. Just pray for them. Number three, if you are a pastor of a church, please, on a regular basis, teach the people a balanced gospel on how to give. I personally think you should stop this idea of raising money. It's not good, generally speaking. One that can say it is bad is inviting people to come and milk your own congregation. You are a wicked soul if you do that. It's not right. If you know a man has an unction to teach people properly, let him come any day. Ken Higgins does something. Anytime he's going to speak about money, he used to do in his days, he takes the offering before the message. If today he's going to teach on money, things that have to do with money and giving, he said he will take the offering first. If they normally take offering at the end of service, he said, no, I don't want you to give because you heard the message today. So before he starts preaching, please pass the offering basket. They pass it. They finish. He will teach you. Then you go home. The idea is that I want you to learn something, imbibe it, and walk by it. I don't want to motivate you so that I use your emotions, all right, to get money. No, we shouldn't do that. In the world today, the church has been so scandalized and given a bad name, I think we should go the extra mile to redeem that name. You can't be doing crusades for people, unbelievers, and you are collecting offering. I think you should not do that at all. Jesus didn't used to do it. Let the Christians give. Let those who want to give, give freely. You are going to crusade ground. Ah, will they try you, Archbishop? We'll go to unbelievers and say it's offering time. Yeah. Jesus, will not they even the shame? Jesus said clearly to them, freely you have received. Give freely, give. Give it and go away. When you want to discuss money, come amongst your brethren and tell them the truth. Guys, and look, that's another thing. Balance it out. Tell your brethren, we are doing great work. I've told people one day, I've not had the grace. One day I'm going to do it. I just go and ask, brethren, I want to build a house. The house is going to cost me 40 million naira. So if the Lord is speaking to you, please see me after service. No, really. There's nothing wrong with it. Honestly, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't have the boldness yet, shall I? I'm just... But if you can do it, nothing wrong. It's not compulsory. It's just that I want to help you to walk with God in my life, you know? So let me tell you what God is doing. At the end of the day, I go and sit down. But to go amongst unbelievers and say crusade, I think it is total error. The love of money must never underlie the things that we are doing. In summary, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? It's to have spiritual motives, godly motives, inspired motives for everything that you are doing. When you are doing that, God can now speak to you whichever way he wants to. If he wants to correct you by dreams and visions, he will. If the voice of the Holy Spirit wants to come up, he will do that. There are times I've seen people, I've read stories of people that angels will stop and say, God says I should tell you this. And it's a real angel. If I was listening to one man the other day, his own was very funny. He said he went to go and get a cup of coffee. And his wife called and said, honey, he said, what? He said, there's an angel out here who wants to see you. And he won't talk to me. So he said, hey, are you serious? So he came out with a cup of coffee and saw the angel standing in front of his wife. And the angel handed him a note. So he collected a note from the angel and read it and said, your attention is needed at a particular realm of the heavens. And the angel looked at him, turned around, and walked, disappearing. You get my point? So he read the note, and as he was reading it, the note began to disintegrate, turned to fine powder, and blew away. So he said, I finished my coffee, went back inside, and knelt down to pray. I said to the Lord, I don't know what this is about. The moment he said that, boom! He was transported into the realm of the heavens, where he saw, you know, old saints. They began to discuss matters and all of that. So God can do that in leading people. You can have a dream, he will lead you by it. But remember, except you are habitually being led by the Spirit, you can't understand visions. Let me say that again. Unless habitually you have forsaken the things of the flesh and you have attached yourself to the things of the Spirit, even if you saw clear visions, you wouldn't understand. The purification of the heart is the primary thing in hearing God correctly. It is not the ability to tune your ears to hear angels. It is your heart pure enough so that when God speaks, you will decode what he's saying? Please, I hope I've made my point. I finished everything I have to say this morning. Time for our questions and our answers and our contributions and our discussions. Contribution. Yeah, please go ahead.